This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com.
Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm your host, Kerry Lutz. It's 8/16/23, show 517. So S&P took a licking yesterday, Nick.
Yeah, the S&P 500 has really been pulling back. You can make a case really ever since the end of July when we had that Bank of Japan news come out where they're going to change their yield curve policy. The markets have been under pressure, and yesterday was a pretty important day because it's the first time the S&P 500 has closed below the 50-day moving average. You have to go all the way back to the month of March to see that price on the S&P below the 50-day. So that's quite something, and we'll see today if it can muster a little bit of strength to get back above that moving average. But a lot of money managers, Kerry, do not like to buy equities when the 50-day moving average or when the S&P is below the 50-day moving average. So this is very, very important going forward.
Yeah, I can understand that for sure. And the question is this part of a major market decline that's getting started?
Well, you know, notoriously, we're entering a very turbulent part of the year. You have the very ominous month of September coming up. And then, you know, you have October coming up as well, which is also very, very tough for the market. I think the markets right now may get a little bit of a bounce here in the short run because we have the Jackson Hole symposium coming up. That's where the Federal Reserve has their big powwow in the mountains. And that is next week. So we're going to get a speech from Jay Powell. So perhaps the markets can muster some strength here and get a little bit of a short-term bid from this slightly oversold condition.
Slightly oversold. All right. So what's doing with Options X?
So Options X, you know, Kerry, that stocks go are all over the map. And, you know, we see certain stocks up one day, others down the next. Some are up big. You get lots of rumors. Options X is coming Friday. Today is Whipsaw Wednesday. So be prepared. We could be in for, you know, a lot more chop into the end of the week. I think next week will be definitely a bit more calmer. But these institutions know where they have to place certain equities, and the volume has been very light this week. So they're able to maneuver, even though the markets have gone a little bit lower.
Yeah. So light volume. And that's, you know, I have to say, I'm not really surprised at the decline yesterday. You think we could have another one before September, another hit like that?
Oh, certainly. I think we'll have a lot of big hits going over the next few months. So I don't think this is anything that's going to end right away. Overall, you know, yesterday was maybe like a movie preview of what you could expect in September and October.
Right. So, and bond yields are sparking this whole thing, right?
Yeah. Bond yields are very, very strong right now. And I know a lot of people, you know, get on us a lot because we talk about yields not going down very much. And, you know, today yields are backing off as we speak now, but the 10-year is still at 4.20. So, you know, this is problematic. Look at, you know, what somebody's going to pay for a 30-year fixed mortgage now. It's almost 8%. So there's definitely a problem there. And what you really want to concentrate and watch closely is the 2-year Treasury note yield. I mean, we probably brought that to the public's attention before anybody. That right now is sitting at around 4.94%. If that 2-year creeps back above 5%, gets to 5.25%, you know, this is going to really worry the markets as the Fed may never be able to cut rates. And that's really all the market keeps talking about. The Fed's going to cut next year. The Fed's going to cut next year. Well, if inflation is going up and yields are going up, the Fed really can't cut rates because you'll just get more inflation. So, you know, this is like a dumb argument, so to speak. Let the market work the way it's going to work and let rates go where they're going to go. But this is what happens when you manufacture and, you know, you manipulate rates for so long.
Yeah, that is for sure. Hey, so gold's, you know, been down a bit lately.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, gold, Kerry, a while ago. I said that 1985 was going to be a key daily chart resistance level. It made several attempts to get above there, couldn't do it. Gold now is at around 1935. If you're looking at something like the GLD, you're going to notice that that now is back down towards its 200-day moving average on a daily chart. And that's important because, you know, if you take out these key technical levels, you can go lower. I'm not upset to see precious metals go down because I want to, you know, get involved in them again. On the long side, I don't short the precious metals. So overall, you know, we've had some good pullbacks, but you know, the way you got to look at precious metals now, they're not going down in a straight line. They've been going lower as the dollar has gone stronger. The dollar, better known as the Dixie U.S. dollar index, is now into a lot of resistance here at 103. So we'll see if the Dixie pulls back. Perhaps, you know, gold will get a short-term bounce. But again, you got to watch these key levels because this is what it's all about. And obviously, silver is doing the same thing. And just let these charts play themselves out until you can get a real clear and specific read. And then you take some action.
Okay, silver is kind of following it, huh?
Yeah, silver is definitely kind of right in line with gold. In fact, silver has a lot of support on the daily chart going back to the June pivot, the late June pivots. But if that level gets breached or exceeded, then I think you got to be careful because silver futures could trade down to the 21 handle. And, you know, I don't think they're going to go a lot lower than that. I would say $19 level would be a screaming buying opportunity in silver.
All right. I like that $19 level. I'm definitely going to be a buyer.
If it Me hits, too.
For sure. Hey, so finally, Bitcoin's just kind of more of the same, huh?
It's more of the same. I mean, honestly, this thing has every opportunity to break out with the weekly chart pattern that's very constructive, but it hasn't been able to do it. The daily chart pattern is just outright ugly. It's just choppy, sloppy. It's not great consolidation. It's very loose and wiggly, but the weekly is very strong. But what I don't like about Bitcoin right now is it's taking so long to make a move. And I've seen this before. When these patterns are so strong and they have such a good, nice shape to them and they fail to break out, you got to be careful because there could be something that triggers it to break down. So I would
something
just
lurking.
Yep, I would stay more in a neutral stance with Bitcoin. Let it tell us more information. And there's nothing wrong sometimes to let it break out first. And, you know, you could calculate where it's going and just jump on board. You know, you don't always have to be the first person to the dance.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that is it for today. Make sure you go over to Nick's site, inthemoneystocks.com. See how he's beaten the averages for decades. Twitter feeds, at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Kerry Lutz. Emails, welcome, KL. At KerryLutz.com. Write your YouTube comments below. Nick, I won't be around on Friday, but we will catch up with you Monday.
Sounds good, Kerry.